Have you ever had to put your plans on hold due to symptoms of generalized myasthenia gravis or GMG? Like taking that weekend trip, talking with friends, or enjoying a meal? Learn about a treatment option that may help. Visit treatgmg.com to learn more. That's treatgmg.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off with this ESRI study that shows workers in the Republic paying twice as much in tax as those in the North, but still better off. The long-standing productivity differences are becoming greater, says the analysis in this report. This coming only a week after Leo Varadkar, the former Taoiseach, called a United Ireland the great cause of our generation. Rose Conway-Walsh is with me, Sinn Féin spokesperson on Enterprise, Tourism and Employment and the TD for Mayo. Rose, do you agree with Leo Varadkar? Is it the great cause of our generation?
Good afternoon, Kieran. I absolutely do. I think he is right. I think there's huge opportunities. But I also think that we need to prepare. And failure by the Irish government to prepare does nobody any favours. But I do think there's a unique opportunity there. There's a unique opportunity across a whole range of issues. Now, we can talk about the affordability of it, but we can also talk about the cost of partition. We can talk about the opportunities to design systems that will serve us into the 21st century, that are underpinned by the values of everybody living on this island. And that's certainly what excites me around all of this. But I think it is incumbent on the government to prepare for a new and for a united Ireland. But also, I mean, we recently did the economic report on the Good Friday Agreement, and we had cross-party agreement on that. And some of the recommendations on it were for a whole-of-government approach to preparation, for the Green Paper on Irish Unity, for the setting up on of citizens' assemblies, and for for deliberative engagement, civic engagement, and all of those things. So this is something that's really been talked across academia and in many other sectors, in business sectors in particular. And I think even the issue around the tariffs and the global uncertainty that we're facing, again, focuses people on the importance of an all-island approach to so many different aspects of our future, of our prosperity and of our growth.
And Rose, what do you say to people who maybe don't have the same emotional desire to see a united Ireland? It doesn't resonate with them in that way. And they look at it maybe in purely economic terms. And this ESRI report that said, listen, if that gap, that productivity gap is getting bigger, then this is just getting more and more expensive. And I'm not sure I want to pay it. And they look at, you know, kind of West Germany, as I understand, is still basically paying for East Germany.
That's a really important point, because I think we need to be heading into a referendum on reunification, on the constitutional future, with all of the facts and not emotions, if you like. Some people will vote regardless of what it might cost. So maybe if we look at some of the figures in terms of the subvention, the figure that's often bandied around is 10 billion plus, and we can't afford that. But when you take things out of that, like the pension liabilities, so the contributions that have been paid to the British government over the years, take that out, take the North's share of the UK debt out, take the spending on British military and defence, and take the overseas spending out. You're looking at a figure of between 1.5 billion and 5 billion there. But that's not a static analysis, because this will be determined by negotiation. And that's why there would be a period of convergence. And I agree with Leo Varadkar when he says that we need a transition fund, or to use some of a transition fund to do this properly. Now, the figures have been broken down. There's a lot of work done in this area, but we welcome additional work being done. And indeed, I welcome the ESRI report again today.
Well, let me bring in Peter Cardwell, who's a talk TV presenter in the UK. Peter, despite this report, do you think we're inching closer to United Ireland?
No, I don't. And I don't think a referendum is needed. And I don't think there are the conditions that would lead the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland to call a referendum in Northern Ireland is something that is being met at the moment or will be met. And certainly, I mean, a very thoughtful analysis there from Rose, and I welcome it. And I'm very happy to, obviously, because I'm appearing on this programme, to have the conversation about a united Ireland. I just don't think that the people who want it are in the majority, certainly in Northern Ireland. And of course, you would need a majority in both sides of the Irish border. Certainly when it comes to some of the figures that Rose talks about, I mean, essentially, well, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but what I think she's advocating is that, for example, the pension liabilities, that would be taken on by the UK. Now, the fact is that people have paid into those pensions. And essentially, you would have to say to people in Northern Ireland various questions such as, do you want to pay for a GP? For example, the NHS is something that people in Northern Ireland hold very dearly. Obviously, it's a very different system in the rest, in the Republic of Ireland. Now, the point as well on the comparison, I think, is an interesting one because, you know, the Republic of Ireland compared directly to Northern Ireland is a very different thing than comparing, for example, six counties of the Republic of Ireland, for example, Munster, to Northern Ireland. You've got Cork, you've got six counties there. So it's not Dublin is an international city. It's a very prosperous city. Belfast is a very, it's a regional city of a much larger country. So I think the comparisons that the ESRI have used are fair enough and they're interesting. But when you look at what they're saying and you look at what Adjunct Professor John Fitzgerald said a few months ago, I just don't think the economics stack up. I'm a unionist. It's not about bands. It's not about marches. It's not about flags. It's about what's best for the people of Northern Ireland. And actually, interestingly, just a final point, within that scenario, I don't think it's going to be the unionists who make the choice. I don't think it's going to be the nationalists and Republicans who make the choice. I think it's going to be many people, including of my generation, who describe themselves as other.
Well, that's you took the words out of my mouth.
Then it's all to play for.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Peter. About the binary way some of us maybe talk about demographics in the north and whether that Northern Irish identity, actually, more so than unionism, might be the thing that stymies a united Ireland.
Well, I think that the identity of other is a much, much more important thing now. And I think it's something we all have to get to grips with. And certainly my generation is much less about David Trimble and much more about the Irish rugby player Andrew Trimble, who just sort of defined himself as a unionist with a very small U, but essentially he's in the other camp and they'll do what's best for the country. So I think if there was an economic scenario where people could say, look, you know, Northern Ireland, yes, productivity is a major problem. There are lots of hangovers with lots of economic inactivity. The private sector needs to seriously do a lot more. And I would encourage the government of Northern Ireland, including Sinn Féin, to do a lot more on that. But the point is that there are a lot of people in the middle who aren't voting how their parents voted. They're not thinking how their parents thought. They're thinking, what's best for me and my family? And at the moment, Northern Ireland, actually, if you do have a professional job, you know, there are great transport links. There are very good schools. There can be a high standard of living if you have a good job. Yeah. But there are a lot of people who don't. So it can be quite an attractive prospect.
Yeah, not just Andrew Trimble. There is one Irishman that we're all intensely proud of this week who I suspect identifies as Northern Irish more than anything else as well. But Rose, to that point, like any referendum, any vote, be it an election, comes down to convincing those people in the middle, as it were. Would you accept that analysis that there is a kind of a growing cohort? We're not necessarily sure exactly what size it is in the north, but you know who have maybe rejected the baggage of the past. They identify as Northern Irish, and they're the people that you would need to convince, be it in 5, 10, 15 years' time, to vote in your favour.
Yeah, I do think that is hugely important, but I wouldn't dismiss the unionist and Protestant population because I think the engagement with them and indeed the engagement we have ourselves, Sinn Féin and the SDLP that are involved with that engagement, I think that's hugely important. But I think it's important what Peter is saying as well around, he cited healthcare and the NHS. Now, I lived under the NHS when the NHS was really good, but we do know that that has been eroded over the years. So I would say that operating a single healthcare system on the island of Ireland would allow for the economies of scale to and enable the increased specialisation.
It would be fairly broken now if the HSE is an advertisement for a united Ireland.
No, but I'll tell you honestly, what the opportunity is here, Kieran, is to have something new, to have a new system. Because one time it would have been credible to say the NHS stood miles above what we have here, but it actually doesn't now. But then you have to look around as well. So that's leaving health to one side. Now, the good news is that on the Good Friday Agreement, the committee should be up and running now. And the next analysis we are doing is on the healthcare system in the constitutional future as well. So we'll do a deeper examination on that. But you have to look across the other things, like look at foreign direct investment, for instance. Look at productivity that's connected to prosperity as well. So the main drivers of foreign direct investment is the education attainment, the infrastructure, the investment, the corporation tax, and indeed political stability as well. But you also have to include decarbonisation and digitalisation and energy security along with that. We can only do many of those things on an all-island basis, including climate change. If we're to really benefit from the full potential of the green economy, which is, we have to do it on an all-island basis.
Yeah, let me go back to Peter, because Peter, let's imagine again, you know, that this that the cohort, the people who identify as Northern Irish, and they don't have that emotional resonance with, you know, republicanism or with the sash their father wore. And as you say, you know, what's important to them maybe is their economic prospects, it's transport links, it's jobs, it's prosperity, and they're fine for the moment. What might convince a person in that cohort to think, you know what, maybe a constitutional change is something I'd support?
Well, people, certainly when it comes to referendums, as you know from the recent referendums on the family, for example, people who don't understand what change is will be inherently conservative and will tend to vote no. So I think that that is the most likely outcome for the others at the moment. If you look at the strength of the Alliance Party in Northern Ireland, for example, I think it's probably going to overtake the DUP fairly soon. So you could have people in the middle with who are not attached to unionism or nationalism, essentially being a very, very big force. I think there are already, actually, and Rory McIlroy is a very, very good example of that. In terms of being convinced, well, you've got to say, actually, things are going to be very, very different. And to people who are motivated by economics, I'm not sure the prospect of you know, Sinn Féin's idea of a 32-county socialist state is necessarily one that's going to be particularly convincing.
Rose, is it a 32-county socialist state you're looking for? I think we've lost.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Yeah, but also I'm looking at it purely from an economic point of view as well, and it makes absolute sense to me in how that would be operated. Now, I very much welcome the ESRI macroeconomic model that was done recently, because that will allow us to do exactly what Peter is saying in terms of having the empirical evidence there to present. That will allow us to model across the two jurisdictions, and indeed with Great Britain as well, to have that empirical evidence there to show what's needed. We need better congruence, obviously, as well, between the data north and south, so we can get comparisons there. But there's no doubt leave politics aside, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind, and I've studied economics for 8 years, that it makes economic sense to have reunification of our island, and that partition has cost us dearly. I don't say that from an emotional point of view, I say it from purely an economic point of view. You also have to remember that in the event of reunification, the North wouldn't have to renegotiate membership of the EU. The island of Ireland would automatically become a member of the EU, and that would be full benefit of EU membership. That would be substantial funding. It would be investment opportunities. It would for businesses as well as agriculture. Yeah. So there are many things. There are many benefits of reunification.
Well, lots of people getting in touch, and everything from high emotion to pragmatism evident on the text line. Keep them coming on 087 1400 106. Rose Conway Walsh, Sinn Féin spokesperson on enterprise, tourism and employment, a TD for Mayo. Peter Cardwell, Talk TV presenter. Peter and Rose, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Have you ever had to put your plans on hold due to symptoms of generalized myasthenia gravis, or GMG? Like taking that weekend trip, talking with friends, or enjoying a meal? Learn about a treatment option that may help. Visit treatgmg.com to learn more. That's treatgmg.com.